So this message will be a little bit shorter this morning because we've already spent some time with our young people answering some really great questions. And I think you'll agree they had some really great answers. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Are you prepared to say that it is true? Are you prepared to say that Jesus is alive? Are you prepared to say that Jesus forgives sins? Because you see, this is the reason why Jesus came to forgive sins. And we'll see reference to that in our verses that we're going to read now moving forward. So we've been in Luke 24 already this morning with the children and young people. Now we're moving forward and we're in verse 33. So two of these disciples have walked all the way to Emmaus, a 7-mile journey. And I guess 7 miles back in the day was longer, if you know what I mean, than it would be if you walked along a nice, even footpath. The terrain, the road would not have been as smooth as we have today. Then you're going to say, don't get me started on potholes. I mean, leave that one out for a minute if you're willing. So they've walked 7 miles. And in verse 33, we've just heard that they've recognized the risen Lord Jesus as he broke the bread. We've just read that their eyes were opened. As our young people pointed out, there seems to be that sense of them recognizing perhaps Jesus' mannerisms, the way he breaks the bread. Maybe there was something specific in the way he did that. But also we read that their eyes were opened. We sensed that there was something supernatural going on. God had wanted their eyes to be closed, and now their eyes are opened. And when that moment dawns, this is Jesus, you could say like that's the culmination of the whole 7-mile walk and the sitting at the meal table. And as they reach that high point and they realize it's Jesus, what happens? He disappears. He's gone. And what do they do next? Look at verse 33 with me, please. Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. We've already read that they walked 7 miles to Emmaus. They were downcast. We think that their heads were probably down because they were sad. They were weary. They'd seen their best friend, the one they'd fixed their hopes on forever, Jesus. They'd seen him crucified. They say to Jesus, don't they, on the road, we hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They are emotionally worn out. They're drained. And they've now walked 7 miles, so they're physically pretty tired as well. And yet what we see is, as soon as they recognize the risen Lord Jesus, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And they walked another 7 miles. And you have to ask the question, where did they get the energy from to walk that next 7 miles when they've already walked seven, when they've been so downcast, so drained, so weary? Well, let me tell you, I didn't put it on the screen today. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30 tells us simply, light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Good news gives health to the bones. These two disciples, these two followers of Jesus who had been so downcast and were so weary emotionally and exhausted physically from the 7-mile walk, I believe that at that moment when they meet the risen Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread, when their eyes are opened, they receive good news. He really is alive. And good news gives health to the bones and to the sinews and to the muscles and to the feet and so on. And they were able to make that 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem. Maybe an application for all of us is to say, am I applying the good news in my situation? Am I applying the good news? Am I even saying, Lord, let your good news bring health to my body, health to my bones, health to the way I see things? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Do you think that perhaps we need to hear afresh Jesus saying to us, peace be with you? What kind of a world were they living in? What kind of a situation were they in personally? They were in a world where their own country was under Roman occupation. There were lots of problems associated with that. They were associated to Jesus, Messiah. They may face death as a result of being his friends and his followers. They've seen Jesus only 2 days ago crucified. And now Jesus is alongside them and he's appeared to them and he's saying, peace be with you. Do you need the peace of Jesus? Because I suspect you would say that your situation is also turbulent. There are also so many uncertainties. And even following Jesus in today's world brings its own risks. And in John chapter 14 and verse 27, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We've got to understand, my friends, that peace is not simply the absence of noise. If the world talks about peace, maybe they would talk about a peaceful setting, a nice lakeside view, a nice cottage in the countryside, and so on. But Jesus here is saying, I'll give you peace in the midst of the turmoil. And I will give you a kind of peace that the world does not offer. I will give you a peace that they can't prescribe to you by the NHS. I'm going to give you a peace that the world does not give. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And it's interesting here because after verse 36, where Jesus says, peace be with you, we read, continuing forward, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. So even in the context of Jesus saying, peace be with you, they are startled and they are thinking that they've seen a ghost. They're still not 100% sure about this risen Lord Jesus thing. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? And he says, look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, a piece of roasted fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Here we have such a mixture of emotions going on. We're told they do not believe, but they're full of joy and they're amazed. My friends, maybe these are the sentiments that we should be expressing as believers. Saying, at times I find it hard to believe, but I'm joyful. I'm amazed that Christ has done this for me, that Jesus died in my place. Yes, I do believe that he rose again. And yet sometimes it seems too amazing, too wonderful. Do you believe? Are you full of joy? Are you amazed? And then in verse 44, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The two disciples who reached Emmaus, their eyes were opened when Jesus broke the bread, yeah? They needed to have their eyes opened. Here in verse 45, we see that Jesus opened their minds. Maybe these are the prayers we should be praying this Easter. Oh Lord, open my eyes. Oh God, please open my heart and my mind. Please touch me and anoint me. Open my mind so that I can understand your word, your scripture. And then in verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Do you see, my friends, that it is not enough only to believe that Christ has died and Christ has risen? What must be preached? Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Because when a person repents, that's when they apply gospel to themselves. Because gospel exists for everybody. The fact that Christ has died for the sins of everybody is available to everybody. But each one of us, metaphorically speaking, have got to fill out the application form. We've got to press send. Each one of us have got to say, "God, I apply to you for your forgiveness. I repent of my sins." Oh God, your word says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm no exception. I repent and I turn to you. This message of Easter, this message of repentance is one for all of us as a church, but it is also one for each of us as individuals, this message of repentance. And I tell you what, repentance is one of the, I don't know, one of the best kept secrets in the world today. And it's one of the things that people struggle with the most. Why? Because so many people will tell you, "I don't need a savior. I've never done anything wrong. I've never done any bad things. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist." But the word of God tells us that every time we turn away from God, that is rebellion. All of us have sinned. This message of repentance is for each one of us. And it's not only for each one of us, it's also for our world and for the people we were praying for earlier and for the people who we don't even know but who need a savior. Verse 48, Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus is saying that you are witnesses of these things. This good news is for you. And this good news is for you to share. You are witnesses of these things. Each one of us should be saying, "God, make me a witness for you." But notice, he is not going to expect them to witness in their own strength. He says, "You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised, you are going to be clothed with power from on high. This is, of course, Jesus talking about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God will come, when God will start living inside of his people. Yes, God is calling us to be his witnesses, but he is not calling us to do this in our own strength and of our own resources. He is calling us to receive him and his power. Then verse 50 says, when Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Just think of that image for a moment. I don't think it lasted long, but at that moment it says they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. How many of you would have liked to be there at the temple, continually praising God? Can you raise a hand? How many of you would like to have been there, like to be there, continually praising God? Seems amazing, yeah? And if we told you that this temple, you know, we can get in our cars and we can drive there this afternoon, yeah, have a quick lunch, let's go there. Yeah? Except that, where is the temple? Where is the temple? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's great that this verse from 1 Corinthians tells us, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought at a price. What price? The very price that we were discussing on Good Friday and celebrating this morning. Christ has died in our place. Christ has paid the price. Christ has come back. He is alive. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is living in us. Let us worship God. Let us thank him for the life that he has given us. And let us not take this lightly. Let us remember that we were bought at a price. The price of Jesus. Jesus is alive. Amen.